Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book In the Spirit of Crazy Horse is a nonfiction book by Peter Mathiesen that investigates one of the most controversial episodes in modern Native American and U.S. legal history. First published in 1983 and republished after years of litigation, it centers on the 1975 Pine Ridge shootout on the Lakota Pine Ridge Reservation, the deaths of two FBI agents, and the conviction of American Indian Movement activist Leonard Peltier. Mathiesen combines reporting, historical reconstruction, and legal critique to examine the violence, mistrust, and political pressure surrounding the case. The book is not simply a biography of Peltier or a courtroom narrative. It is a broader account of the FBI's conflict with AIM, the aftermath of the Wounded Knee occupation, and the conditions on Pine Ridge that shaped the crisis. Its purpose is both documentary and argumentative to challenge the official story, raise questions about due process, and place Native resistance within a wider history of federal power and indigenous struggle. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Pine Ridge shootout as the book's central historical event. The book builds its narrative around the 1975 confrontation near Oglala, South Dakota, where an exchange of gunfire on the Pine Ridge Reservation left an Indian and two FBI agents dead. Mathiesen treats this event not as an isolated crime story, but as the climax of a longer period of conflict. By reconstructing the shootout and the prosecutions that followed, he asks readers to look beyond the immediate violence and examine the political atmosphere that made the event so consequential. The importance of this section lies in its emphasis on context. The shootout becomes a window into reservation life, federal surveillance, and the breakdown of trust between Native activists and law enforcement. This framing helps the book function as more than a case study. It turns a single incident into an inquiry about how history, race, and state power intersect in moments of crisis. Secondly, Leonard Peltier and the disputed meaning of justice. Leonard Peltier is the human and legal center of the book. Mathiesen presents him as a member of the American Indian Movement, whose conviction for the murders of the FBI agents remains deeply contested. The book does not merely repeat Peltier's claims of innocence. Instead, it examines why the case became such a lasting symbol for critics of the criminal justice system. Allegations of fabricated evidence, withheld material, witness pressure, and procedural irregularities are part of the narrative because they shape the question of whether the trial was fair, regardless of the final verdict. This makes the book a sustained argument about due process, not just a defense of one man. It also explains why Peltier came to be seen by supporters as a political prisoner and by opponents as a convicted murderer. The book's significance comes from holding that tension in view and showing how legal outcomes can remain morally and politically disputed long after a sentence is imposed. Thirdly, the FBI and the campaign against the American Indian Movement. A major concern of the book is the FBI's relationship with the American Indian Movement during the 1970s. Mathiesen portrays the Bureau as an institution that did not merely investigate crime but pursued AIM through aggressive and sometimes abusive methods. This includes claims of intimidation, manipulation of witnesses, and a broader pattern of federal hostility toward Native activism. The book is therefore important as an account of political conflict between a federal agency and a social movement, challenging long-standing injustices on Native land. By focusing on the FBI's role, Mathiesen shifts the story from individual culpability to institutional conduct. The result is a critique of how law enforcement can function when political fear, public pressure, and historical prejudice shape its actions. Even readers who disagree with the book's conclusions must confront its central claim that the machinery of justice may be compromised when the state treats dissent as subversion. Fourthly, Pine Ridge, Wounded Knee, and the wider Native struggle. The book places the 1975 events within a larger indigenous history, especially the Wounded Knee occupation of 1973 and the violent conditions that followed on the reservation. This wider frame is essential because it shows that the Pine Ridge crisis emerged from a long pattern of dispossession, resentment, and internal division under extreme pressure. Mathiesen's account makes the Lakota struggle visible as both political and historical, rooted in broken treaties, poverty, and contest over sovereignty. The reservation is not treated as a backdrop, but as the social landscape in which violence became imaginable. This perspective distinguishes the book from a narrow true crime narrative. It insists that understanding the shootout requires understanding Native resistance, community trauma, and the legacy of federal intervention. In this way, the book contributes to a broader historical memory of Native American activism and the costs of conflict on reservations. Lastly, a book shaped by litigation, censorship battles, and media law significance. One of the most unusual aspects of the book is its publication history. Distribution was delayed for years because of libel suits brought over its claims, and the later edition appeared after the legal challenges were resolved. This matters because the book became part of the very debate it describes: who gets to tell politically sensitive stories, what evidence can be published, and how far freedom of speech extends when powerful institutions are criticized. Mathiessen's work is therefore not only a historical narrative, but also an example of how investigative writing can trigger legal resistance. The litigation gave the book a second life and made it influential beyond Native American studies. It is frequently discussed in relation to media law and press freedom, because its court battles illustrate the high stakes of publishing controversial allegations about law, enforcement, and government conduct. That gives the book a lasting significance in both literary and legal history. In conclusion, In the Spirit of Crazy Horse is best suited for readers interested in Native American history, political conflict, investigative nonfiction, legal controversy, and the history of the American Indian movement. It offers practical value for anyone studying how narrative journalism can merge with historical interpretation, and intellectual value for readers who want to understand how official accounts are challenged and contested. The book is especially useful because it does not limit itself to the Peltier case alone. It situates the case inside the broader struggles of the Lakota people, the aftermath of Wounded Knee, and the federal response to Native activism. That wider lens is what separates it from ordinary true crime or courtroom books. It is also distinctive because its own publication history became part of its significance, turning the book into a test case for libel, press freedom, and the risks of publishing politically charged investigation. Readers looking for a single authoritative answer may find the book provocative, but readers seeking serious engagement with disputed history will find it unusually rich and consequential. If you would like to support Peter Mathiessen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.